It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
It is the special Homer Hour. Actually, I think it's the Yingling Hotline Homer Hour because a couple of guests, J.C. Woolley later, and now brewer expert Dom Cotroneo. That's how I describe you. You are my brewer expert. You okay with that?
I guess. I mean, I've been around the game enough. I hope that, you know, I've learned a thing or two from these guys. Appreciate that.
All right. My view of the Brewers is very easy. Whatever they do, I think it's right. And I'm amazed that Arnold hasn't been paid a ton of money to go somewhere else, because what he's done to follow up Stearns is amazing. So if I'm wrong about any of that, amazing. Let me know now.
Well, he just got paid money. He got a new title this past offseason. I mean, the Brewers hit so many checkpoints of what small organizations, small market organizations need to do to keep their top-end talent. They give Matt a new title, some other lieutenants new titles.
Whatever they paid him or whatever they called him, if I'm at 10 other teams, I don't care what the Brewers, we'll match it, add 30%, and we'll call you whatever you want.
Right. It's amazing, though. If it was that simple, everybody would have already done it, right? If
other I don't know. Maybe they don't think he's that good.
What the Brewers do.
What do you say? Do they?
I think.
Go ahead.
I think they understand it takes years to do this, right? I mean, just look at David Stearns, right? You have unlimited amount of money over there in New York, and they've made the playoffs once in his tenure, obviously at the Brewers' expense. But last year, they were the biggest failure in the sport. So it just goes to show that it doesn't happen on a yearly basis to be guaranteed good immediately.
But here's my theory. If you can win in Milwaukee, you can win anywhere.
There's something to that, but at the same time, something that I've explained to people too, where it's more about if you can win in Milwaukee, you win anywhere is true, absolutely. But it's more of a mark, a scarlet letter on the Chicago Cubs, right? They get to play in the small, you know, in the small pond. The Cubs are the big fish in the small pond, and yet they can't beat the Brewers. Like, isn't that amazing to think that the Cubs have every advantage you could think of? They have an amazing spring training facility down here. They have a nationwide fan base. They have, you know, an incredible amount of history, and they have a World Series ring. So there's something to be said, like, hey, they've done it, well, the Brewers haven't, and that's true. But yet, since that World Series ring, the pace car has simply been leading the Brewers and not the Cubs.
And so my question to you is, talking with Dom Cotroneo, my Brewer expert, how is that? How has that occurred in your belief?
I think it's patience. You know, when Stearns came in 16, he was very open about the fact, like, give me a minute, give me some time, and we'll get this right. And they almost got it right in 2017, remember? I mean, how quickly they were a competitive team, given it was all coming down at the end of the tenure with Rags, and was just thinking about, all right, council comes in mid-year, and it's, all right, well, this is going to be a long project. No, it was really like a two-year project. And now what the Brewers have done and said, we're never going to rebuild again. They're never going to be the team in both directions. They're never going to be a team that pushes the chips all in and has $155 million payroll, which would be the highest they've ever had. And they're also never going to be the team that has the lowest payroll in baseball, tearing it down to the studs like St. Louis Cardinals are currently doing right now. Think about that sentence, Homer. The Cardinals are tearing down and actively not trying to win games right now. That's a sentence nobody would have believed 10 years ago.
And I ask you as well, why is that? I mean, I have a very easy explanation. Because they didn't hire Matt Arnold. Like, it's all about the people in charge putting the organization together, drafting players, free agents, all that. And I don't care who you are, unless you got that figured out, even a great organization like the Cardinals can fall apart. And exactly. I don't follow them that closely, you can tell me, but that's clearly to me. And that's why I say, if I was the Cardinals this past offseason or wherever Arnold's contract went up, I'd say, whatever, they can't match what we're going to do. They're Milwaukee. We're the St. Louis Cardinals. How long is it going to take? We don't care. As long as you think it is, do it the same way. Bring your people in. And I'd say, fortunately for Milwaukee, and maybe to their credit, because they paid him. But, I mean, I'd ask if I would call call that Cotroneo guy. What would he say? He'd say or pay whatever you do to get Matt Arnold, and then you go from there. But is my theory wrong there?
It's not that far off. The thing that I think about with the Cardinals, they had some talent, you know, pilfered from their organization. I look back to one of the big moments in baseball history was Jeff Luno leaving the Cardinals and going to the Astros. Now, Jeff Luno was the guy that created the full-scale, tear-it-down tanking method for baseball, and Tom Verducci prodigized that the Astros would win the 2017 World Series. Now we know what we know, and that they were also stealing signs and all this stuff. But the point being is that Jeff Luno was a Cardinals lieutenant, decided to go to the Astros, tore it all down. And by the way, know who Jeff Luno hired there with the Astros? A young David Stern straight out of college. So there is a butterfly effect of everything with the Cardinals and with the Brewers. But it also takes time, because what the Brewers have invested in and what the Brewers have set their eyes on, you got to remember where Mark Adonasio's money comes from and where his wealth comes from. He is an investor. He is on Wall Street. He understands long-term plays over short-term games. And I think that the Brewers understand, hey, would you rather invest, let's just throw a number out there, $50 million a year into your player development, into your staffs, into your facilities, into your technology? Or would you rather invest, you know, $50 million on two players who could round second base awkwardly and suddenly have a busted ankle? And I think the Brewers are choosing the former.
All right, I would add to that, because we'll get to that, that I think not only that, they've discovered that veteran pitching is way too expensive. So that when people complain about Adonasio, I go, no, wait, you don't get it. You can't spend that much money on pitching because it doesn't guarantee anything. So you want to take that risk? Fine. No. Spend all the money, everything, on developing everyday players, farm system, whatever, and then when our pitchers get to a certain level, we trade them for more of that so that we have this huge amount, if we do it right, of everyday players, young, whatever, and then we hope that our young pitching one time can maybe be good enough that we can win a World Series. Because it's stupid to pay the whatever you have to pay for a veteran pitcher or to keep him, because there's no guarantee it's going to work. Now, that's also my theory. Destroy it if you wish. I've been using it for years in defense of Adonasio, because if the odds were better spending the money on the veteran pitcher, whoever it is, I think he would consider it. But the odds say it's not worth it, because there's no guarantee you'll be any better than they've been with their approach. Take it away.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, pitching is the most valuable asset in the game. Young, old, if you can get 175 innings out of five guys, oh my goodness, that is so valuable, because that makes your bullpen better. It makes everybody else better down the depth chart. But the reason the Brewers are understanding, hey, we can't afford to shop in the Justin Verlander pool or the Max Scherzer pool.
Or the Dodgers pool. They did exactly that last year, correct?
Exactly. So The point being is like, hey, these guys were somebody before they were somebody. We can still get the best years out of those guys before they go sign their 7-year, $60 million deal, whatever it may be. Because the point being is that the system as it currently does, as it's currently implemented, actually favors teams like the Brewers, because you get 6 years of guaranteed control from a guy especially in pitching, in his prime years, which is why you're seeing guys accelerated through the minors, guys like Jacob Mizorowski, guys like Chad Patrick, who maybe don't have the traditional 500 minor league innings before they come to the show. It's more, it's like 250 now, and even less on some occasions. So the point being is that get them while you have them, and hopefully, like a competent organization, the Brewers are, have more coming no matter what.
Now, the next question becomes, well, instead of getting rid of them, we can keep them for the last year, because maybe that'll put us over the top, and then we could get a compensatory pick. And my answer is, again, the risk isn't worth it, because you should, if you're good and the Brewers are, get way more than that compensatory pick when you trade him, as happened recently, before the final year, correct or not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing is, though, does the package get that much bigger if you're giving up multiple year season of control? Like, I know when we talk about Freddie Peralta, right? And
yes.
I was always in the camp of, like, I wouldn't trade him. You know, this was never meant to be a salary dump. And I know people interpreted it that way. It was not that in the slightest. It was more about the fact that they got an offer they couldn't refuse. They got two guys that are going to play in the big leagues this year, and they have them for six more years versus 1 year of Freddie Peralta. So,
well, but when Peralta stays, make sure I have this right. If Peralta stays his last year, then when he leaves, you get something, right? A compensatory draft pick?
You would have to give him a qualifying offer, which he would ultimately decline because the qualifying offer is just essentially a one-year deal.
Right, which is automatic.
$125,000.
Which is automatic. Yeah. You're going to do it. He's going to turn it down. But I would still say that's significantly less than what they got, and I'm sure that's the standard they used. And that's and so you again, because there's no guarantee you win it with Peralta.
Correct. And I think furthermore, the question about the Brewers pitching staff, now, if you look at the move in a vacuum, you're like, wow, you just got rid of your most reliable pitcher last season. In a vacuum, you're like, ooh, what are they going to do? Well, now that the offseason has ended and they've acquired even more pitching on the today on WTMJ.com, just about the fact that the Brewers literally saw this blueprint from the Dodgers last year where, hey, I'm not saying the Brewers are going to coast, but I'm just saying, like, nobody cares how many innings you throw in April. You know, ask Brandon Woodruff how he felt in June and July versus how he felt in September, October. He wanted to be pitching in September and October. They don't want to rush anybody. They want to have this stockpile of arms that they have right now so that competition will lend itself to say, well, this guy's ready to go at the end. This guy's our best bet. You know, if you go into October with a healthy Woodruff, a healthy Mizorowski, and maybe a healthy third guy that isn't, you know, on our radar right now, like a Brandon Sproul, like a Kyle Harrison, like a Shane Drouin. That's what you're going for, as opposed to having to throw Jose Quintana and Aaron Ashby as an opener and maybe get two or three innings out of Priester. Like, the Brewers are trying to set themselves up that they have depth stockpiled for October.
Talking with Dom Cotroneo. He, again, is my Brewer expert, but, like, you're all over the place. Tell us Dom Cotroneo Enterprises, and you're like the Jason Wilde of the Brewers. Okay, all the different ways people can take advantage of all that you do. Take it away, Dom.
Yeah, my taxes are very complicated, Homer. But basically, I'm the researcher for television for the Brewers. I also do it with Brian Anderson for TBS on his national games. I'm also our pre- and post-game host on WTMJ for Brewers Radio this season. We've got a podcast, Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. Talking Brewers all the time, once a week, and then during the season, that's where the post-game shows live as well. And I'm just a baseball junkie, Homer. You know that.
So, and I, of course, should have said, all those things are free, right? So if I want to know what you're thinking, do you do anything on Twitter, or is it just your podcast? Or
yeah, I'm on Twitter as well. It's a you know, a hellish site at times. Dom_Cotroneo, DOM_Cotroneo. And I'm on Instagram. That's Dom C Baseball. I made sure nobody had to try to spell Cotroneo.
All right. Now, this, of course, is a special Homer Hour because it's the Yuengling Hotline with Dom Cotroneo. And I'm going to do a little business, then we're going to break and we'll get to a – because I need to ask you about the current players and team and, of course, about Miz. But I just assume they'll be good. They'll be in the playoffs. Who are the players? I'll get to know them. Running a business means taking care of your team and your bottom line for over 50 years. Saganiac Planning has helped small businesses build smarter, more affordable medical and employee benefit plans. From health insurance to customized coverage options, Saganiac Planning's experts make it simple to protect your people and your future. Saganiac Planning, your partner in planning confidence. They've done it with medium, small, large, all companies, and over 50 years. Visit SaganiacPlanning.com or call Eric Pearson today. You can remember the number, just 783-262-783. Roger Maris, 6161. And yeah, this is my favorite. Woo! If you don't know what that is, then you're probably not interested in Ric Flair coming to Milwaukee March 27th at the Riverside Theater with Thanasis. Thanalysis Live with Woo! Actually, it's Ric Flair with Thanalysis. If you don't do it that way, he will not be happy with you. So, tickets are limited. Don't wait. Lock yours in now at TA Live Show. TALiveShow.com. Thanalysis Live March 27th at the Riverside Theater, presented by Gruber Law Offices and Potawatomi Casino Hotel. And so that he doesn't get mad at me, it's Ric Flair joined by Thanalysis. Woo! Round two with Dom Cotroneo next. Round two with Dom Cotroneo. Where do we start this year's current Brewers? Who do people ask about most? I'm guessing it's Miz. Maybe not. Maybe
absolutely.
It's Cheerio.
It's Miz the most, and I would say a close second behind that is always going to be Yelly. It's always going to be Yelly.
Oh, yeah.
Can he repeat what he did last year? Is that the Yelly of 2018, 2019? But can he keep this up? But yes, everybody's enamored with anybody who throws 104 miles an hour, and I don't blame him.
All right, let's discuss Miz. What he did last year, how much what they wanted, what they got out of him. Did they have to change anything at the innings? Recap what they wanted and how he did.
Yeah, I think what they wanted was, quite frankly, exactly what they got. Meaning, I know there are some bumps and bruises and some failures along the way. There's a certain point where it's like you want to see failure, right? And I remember a conversation I had with Miz and with Chris Hook, pitching coach of the Brewers. After there's a spring training, like prospect game down here in Arizona every year, it's called Spring Breakout. And Miz was the starting pitcher for that game. And everyone's like, all right, he could be the fifth starter. He could be on the opening day roster. And he just threw a clunker and he just did not pitch well. And, you know, it was a proper chewing out by Chris Hook of Jacob Mizorowski of like, will you lock it in? Do you realize how talented you are and you're just out here coasting on talent? You need to fail. You need to understand how good you are. And lo and behold, he took that advice, ran with it in AAA, came up to the big leagues, lit the world on fire. And the way I see Miz this season is, I mean, this is going to be, you know, a year that the Brewers are going to lean on him, but not necessarily, quote unquote, rely on him. And I think there's a difference. You know, he can get 150 innings. He can get 200 strikeouts, whatever. But point being is nobody cares about his regular season if he's not available at the end of the year. So they're going to be very cautious about overworking him and making sure that, like we say with Woodruff and some of the older guys, like this is a prized commodity for them. They want to hang on to him and keep him as healthy as long as possible.
So he's a starter, first of all, correct?
100%.
And what would be the range of innings that you think is somewhere close to what they would like in the regular season?
I think the goal is 150 innings for him. And I think that's a stretchy goal. I mean, he was at 130 or so, if I remember correctly, including the playoffs in AAA last year. So he's going to a territory he's never gone before. We were talking about it literally today with Murph about, hey, he's going to have to learn that you don't post, but you just sort of say, hey, you know what? This 1-1 pitch doesn't need to be 102 miles an hour. I need to throw as hard as I can. If I can take a little off it and it's still 98, like that's still a pretty darn good pitch. Or learning how to pitch and to switch things up and to not be so max effort five and dive all the time. But granted, I see Miz as somebody that is just dynamic. He has other weapons than the fastball. And what we saw from him against the Cubs and against the Dodgers was just brilliant and just kind of gives you a feeling of, man, what this could be. That was still him as a rookie, and there's still so much more learning he could do.
Talking with Dom Catronio, how many innings do you anticipate them using in a normal start?
I would say, you know, we've talked about this a lot with Murph, where the traditional, hey, you got five starters, and they're going to throw 200 innings, and that's your like that's just not happening anymore, and especially with the Brewers. I think there will be days where, yeah, you have that one guy that can bust you six, that can bust you seven out of nowhere, but they're going to be smart. They've got an incredible bullpen. They also have a multitude of guys that can give you length. Like, I'm not saying they're going to go with tandem starters in the regular season where maybe you have, let's say, Kyle Harrison throw five, Aaron Ashby follows with two, and then hopefully you're in the lead and you hand it to Uribe and McGill at the end, right? That could certainly happen. But I think the majority of games this year is going to be somewhere between five and six innings out of the starter because that's all they're going to be asking for.
Because I'm looking at, you said 150 innings. I figure you give him six innings. Now you're at 25 starts. And that seems to me that would be pretty good, but you'd know better. Is with 25 starts, or do they want more? Or again, because it's so much, you don't do too much greater after the previous year. So what, with 25 starts, averaging six innings, would that be good or am I off?
That'd be great. I mean, that'd be a lofty goal. I think no one's going to turn that down for Miz. But I think that the way that the Brewers are going to do this is just sort of understanding that there's going to be quite a shuttle between Nashville and the big leagues this year. Because, I mean, when the trades went down that they did, especially the Caleb Durbin deal, I mean, there's only so many guys you can carry. And at some point this year, like the AAA rotation for the Brewers is going to be better than some big league rotations. I mean, it's just the way that they're going to have so much depth and hopefully everyone's healthy and that sort of thing, that if you get 25 starts of six innings out of Miz, if only it was that simple, right? But if you get that out of him, I mean, sign me up for that, and everybody would do that, because then you got maybe four or five more starts in the postseason with him, hopefully, if things go according to plan, that he can get maybe 4 to 5 innings in each of those.
Give me the list of names people should know and be following now in the order of expectations and ability by the Brewers in the starting staff. Because for right now, unless you follow closely, it's Miz and the other guys.
For sure. I think for me, most important guy to monitor is Chad Patrick, because there's not a lot of, you know, questions about whether or not he can be a starter anymore. Now, can he develop a true breaking ball, which he did at the second half of the year? He was incredible out of the bullpen in the postseason. But the Brewers are going to lean on him again. Like, can he get to 150 innings? And he's a pitcher, not a thrower, and he has a little bit of sneaky velo. I think Chad Patrick is somebody that's going to quickly become a fan favorite, especially after his performance against the Cubs. And then the next guy on that list for me, and the guy that I'm really excited about, is Brandon Sproat. He was acquired in the Freddy Peralta deal from the Mets. He's already made his big league debut. He's already refining a few things, and, you know, the Brewers' way of, you know, hey, you got to throw a putter, and hey, let's try to generate your changeup to get some more swings and misses on it. And he's just a very cerebral pitcher that has an arsenal of weapons that can get both righties and lefties out. And the last guy I want to mention is Shane Drouin. I've just been enamored with his numbers and with the stuff that I'm seeing on video from him. I think he's going to be that guy, maybe not this season, but next season, that he comes up, he's disgusting, he strikes out 8 or whatever, and the Brewers are like, where the heck did they get this guy? Oh, it was in that Caleb Durbin deal that everybody hated for no reason. So those are my three names that I'm keeping an eye on right now.
Brewers, Cubs in the division. That's what it is, right? It's
for sure.
And
I know people keep trying to say the Pirates are better. The pitching is unbelievable. Their bullpen still doesn't wow me, and their offense isn't that much better. I do want to give credit to the Reds that, yes, they made the playoffs last year, but I credit it more to the Mets collapsing than the Reds making the playoffs. I mean, the Reds made the playoffs with 83 games. That's not a team that was, like, banging on the door to get into October.
As is expected every year now, the Brewers are going to make the playoffs again. They don't have to win the division to make the playoffs. What's a reasonable position that people should expect? Because the Brewers have set a standard now. They don't make the playoffs any year. It's a disappointing year.
And I agree with that. I think it's a beautiful thing that the Brewers have set up this machine that expects to be in the postseason. I mean, tell fans of that in the 90s and early 2000s, right? I mean, I know the rules are different, obviously, but just the fact that the Brewers not only, you know, can make the playoffs, like think about the mid-10s when they finally break it in 08, but then they don't make it back until 11. And 11 was an incredible season, the franchise record until this past year. They don't make it back again for a while. So, I mean, the point being is that the Brewers have created a sustainable monster that expects to be in the playoffs every year. I still, Homer, am picking the Brewers to win the division. Maybe I'm wearing blue and yellow glasses.
You're supposed to.
But the reason I am is, like, the offense is virtually the same.
Yep.
The team that they are breaking camp with, without question, in my opinion, is better than the team they broke camp with last year. And last year's team won 97 games. So I'm not saying they're going to win 97 games, but I think the floor of this team is like 88 wins, which still gets you in the postseason.
I know you're busy. So 30 seconds left. I think the manager is more popular than anybody on the team. But I don't know if that's in fact the case. I think people are fascinated with so many things about him. What do you know, 30 seconds, that you want to tell people that they either don't know or you want to emphasize?
Pat Murphy is a leader of men and is one of the smartest baseball minds I have ever been around. People who think, oh, he's this old school manager, you know, he's in his 60s, he probably just thinks of the game different. No, no, no. He understands the modern game, he understands the numbers, and he's able to marry that with the hard-nosed mentality, the entertaining brand of baseball the Brewers play. It's all in his image. Pat Murphy is a perfect fit at the perfect time for the Brewers.
Thanks, Dom. We will do this again.
Thank you, Homer. Appreciate you.
You bet. Dom Cotroneo.